and to share a little bit more about the work of Every Home Crusade with you. Now, first of all, I want us to turn to God's Word, and I want us to read a few verses from Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, and we're just going to break into the middle of this chapter. Ezekiel 3, and we're going to commence reading at verse 16, please. Commencing at verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require thine hand. Yet, if I warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. This evening, as we think of the watchman, I want you to take you back to Bible times, and I want you to think about how people used to live in the walled cities. Now, they used to live in those cities, and everybody came into the city at night. The gates were closed, and of course, there was always the watchman. There he was on top of the city wall. I want you to think for a moment about the attributes of the watchman. What type of person had the watchman to be? Had he been a man who was going to be willing? A man who was eager to be a watchman? A man who was going to be alert? Wasn't going to be of any value to have a watchman that was going to fall asleep on the job? He had to be a man who was dedicated to being a watchman. Because you see, he could be a watchman, be a nice job being a watchman, on a nice summer's day. But then there was going to be the cold, wet, blowy days. They still had to be there on those wet and cold and blowy days as well. He had to be dedicated to his job. And yet we find here in Ezekiel this commissioning of Ezekiel to be a watchman. And what does it say there in verse 17? I have made you a watchman, says the Lord God. And yet the question is this evening, what about us? Have we been commissioned to be watchmen, to be spiritual watchmen? Well, of course, what did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, we too have been commissioned to be watchmen if we know and love the Lord as our Savior. And the question is tonight, what type of watchman are you? What type of watchman? Are you one that is willing, eager, dedicated, wanting to do whatever the Lord would have you to do, whether that is to do carry on in whatever position you are working, studying, or whatever here at home, or if the Lord calls you to go overseas or to do something else, are you willing? Are you prepared to do what God would have you do this evening? And yet, you know, I'm thankful that there are those people here at home who are spiritual watchmen, those who are willing and eager to serve the Lord. Yes, those who pray, those who support missionary work. Then there's another group of people, those who actually distribute literature. You see, we could have that printing factory down there in Belfast where we print all the gospel literature. We could print literature, but if nobody was to distribute it, it would be of no value whatsoever. We need people to distribute the literature. This evening I think of people like James Choco out there in the Philippines. We are in contact with people all over the world who are willing to distribute. I think of James Choco. Let me give you just a little bit of a snip as to what type of man James Choco is. Whenever James Choco became a Christian, he got involved with Christian ministry. But at the same time, he was working in his family business. One day, he decided, a group of Christians, they agreed they were going to go out to distribute some Bibles. But the day before they were to distribute the Bibles, James got a phone call from his father. His father says, look, we are going to have some international guests coming in to see our business tomorrow. I want you to look after them. Take a care of them. I'm flying out to China tomorrow. I'll be away just a day and then I'll be back. I'll look after them the day after that. Just tomorrow. And James says, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I've already committed myself to distribute Bibles. And his father said, but you've got to. I need you to do this. James says, no, I'm sorry, I've already committed myself to distribute Bibles. His father cancelled his trip to China and had to look after the guests himself. The day after that, James lifted the local newspaper. And when he lifted the newspaper and looked at the heading across the newspaper, what did it say? Airline crashes, all are lost. It was the airline that his father was to take to China. And James said after that, there was no more argument in his household about Bible distribution. But that gives you the idea of the quality of the man of James Choco. And that's the man that we ship all our containers of literature to in the Philippines. But you know, as we think of a watchman, I also want to think of the great responsibility of the watchman. You know, what happens if the enemy comes and there's no warning cry? Well, people lose their lives. And whose responsibility is it? It's that of the watchman. And friends, this evening, you know, I believe that every single one of us that knows and loves the Lord, we can make a difference. A spiritual difference in the hearts and lives of people. Because there are those, well, we can make the difference between spiritual life and spiritual death. We can make the difference between heaven and hell this evening. You know, there's an awful cry sometimes that could be heard. No man cared for my soul. And I trust that will never be said of any of us here this evening. What happens if we're not a good watchman? Well, what does God say? Their blood will I require at your hand. What an awful thought. You know, I shudder at the very idea of that. And that's why we keep that factory going as hard as we can in Belfast. This past year in the factory, we used a total of 933 tons of paper. And that produced in the region of 52 to 53 million pieces of literature. That's anything from a gospel tract right through to a gospel of John or a set of children's Bible lessons. 52.5 million pieces of literature, about 40 different languages, going out to over 120 countries around the world, all going out free of charge. I want you to think of a few of those places that the literature has gone. We've worked with a mission called Bible Mission. They're a German mission. They work in Russia. Just over a year ago, they gave us a project for Kazakhstan. They wanted to give Christians 10 calendars, 10 gospels, 10 gospel booklets. And every Christian was to get 10 of each. Then they were to, at Christmas time, they were to give out the 10 to 10 non-Christian families, take time to explain the gospel message with them, give them the calendars, a little gift, and pray and invite them to the church services during this incoming year. Well, that's what they did last year in Kazakhstan. We sent them 100,000 calendars for that. So that was 10,000 Christians involved in that evangelistic project. Well, this year they decided to expand it. And they expanded it not only for Kazakhstan, but for Russia, for Belarus, for Ukraine and for Moldova. And he asked us for 350,000 calendars. That was 350,000 gospels and gospel booklets as well. And again, that's 35,000 Christians involved in personal evangelism. And that has just been taking place over those last couple of weeks. This past week, there was one day, I think it was early in the week, was the Russian New Year. They have their Russian New Year just a little bit later than ours. And they have been getting those calendars. Pray for that literature that goes out into people's hands, that the Lord will take it up and use it. One of the leaders was on the phone with me just before Christmas. He was telling me all the literature had arrived safely in all the different places. And then he went on, he says, look, we have other churches and they're coming to us. And they said, we would like to take part in your evangelistic effort as well. Can we have batches of 10 calendars and so on as well to give out? And I had to say to him, no, I'm sorry. We haven't any more stocks left. We can't give you any. Maybe next year you'll be able to take part. He says to me, possibly next year we'll maybe go for 500,000 or more. So that gives you a little idea of what's coming up the line as far as we're concerned. I also think of countries like Ethiopia. You know, Ethiopia to me is a fascinating country. course, it's an African country. But not only has it got its own language, it's even got its own alphabet. Don't know if you can see it there or not. They've got their own alphabet. And then to make matters even more confusing, they've even got their own calendar. All right? Now, I know this really is quite complicated in a sense, but it's not too complicated. Well, we had our millennium, what, 7 years ago? 8 years ago now. Well, they have their millennium on the 12th of September this past year. All right? And they, Callihewett Church out there, they said, right, it's the millennium. We will reach our people with the gospel message. We will use this, take this as a time of evangelism. Their aim was to reach 1 million people with the gospel. They were praying to see 100,000 souls saved. We had given them a big supply of literature for that evangelistic event. And then another mission, they approached us and they said, look, we're going to give a set of books to pastors. We would like to give, well, just one of your sets of children's Bible lessons to every pastor. We'd also like a little bundle of tracts and gospels. They asked us for 200 tracts, a little bundle with three gospels of John, three copies of the booklet, Pardon and Assurance. That's for evangelism. Doesn't seem very much for evangelism, does it? The only problem was that there was 10,000 pastors to get. So that was 10,000 sets of Bible lessons and 10,000 of these. And Carol, my wife, knows all about these because she had to make a whole lot of these up and get them packed and so on and ready for going out. Those have been shipped and they've just now arrived in Ethiopia. So pray as the literature is taken up there and used out there. You know, I want to come back here to the watchman. The watchman can be a man that can have great joy. You know, you imagine the watchman for a moment. And there he is on top of that city wall, and he looks away out in the distance and he sees the enemy approaching. And he gives that warning cry. And he's right up there on top of the wall and he looks right down. What are the people going to do? Are they going to listen? Are they going to get inside the city? And he watches. Yes, they've stopped talking. Yes, they're moving. They're moving in towards the city gates. And eventually they're all in and the gates are closed and the people are safe. He's done a good job. And you know, tonight, do you know anything? Do you know anything about the joy of seeing souls coming to know the Lord as their Savior? To see lives being transformed, lives being changed. You know, that is one of the greatest thrills that we can have, seeing people coming to know the Lord. Because you know, not only that whenever one soul gets saved, well, you can impact it upon a home. You can even impact on a whole community. You know, as you look out, you see a pond or a lake or whatever. Many times you've seen somebody throw a stone into a pond or a lake. And you see the ripples heading out in all directions. And you know, tonight, every single one of us are creating ripples upon our world. And tonight the question is, what type of ripples are you creating? What type of ripples are you creating upon our world tonight? Every single one of us are creating ripples. You know, sometimes as I look in our factory, I see the fellas all busy. You know, we have 20 of a staff there with all the machines and so on going. You know, sometimes people maybe think, well, it's very glamorous working in a, you know, Christian setup and all the rest of it. And all that, you know, you can all these discussions and so on. But you know, there's a lot of hard work. And sometimes there's a lot of boring work. I think of the fellows there that run the machine that make up the Gospels of John and the other booklets. You know, there's one fellow at one end of the machine and he's putting on printed pages. And at the other end of the machine, you have a fellow taking off bundles of booklets and putting them into a box, taping up the box, putting the box in a pallet. When the pallet's full, wheel away the pallet. And then there's another box and then there's more tape and then there's more pallets and so on. You know, you get through 60,000 or more Gospels in a day. You've handled a fair little bit of literature, and that's an average day. Last year, they put through over 9.5 million Gospels of John, never mind all the other booklets and so on. But you know, you wonder, what sort of impact does this literature make? You know, I think of Colombia. You know, I got this news not very long ago from Colombia. Lady one day, she was considering committing suicide. And there she was. She went out onto a bridge. She was considering throwing herself off. She was sitting with her legs dangling off the edge of the bridge. And two little girls came along. And those two little girls came along and they spoke to the woman and said hello to the woman. But she noticed that one of them was carrying a booklet. And she didn't know what the booklet was. but she liked the picture on the front. And she asked the little girl, can I have that booklet? And the little girl says, no, you can't. We were at church today and the pastor gave us this booklet. And he told us we're to take it home and we're to look after it, we're to take it, we're to read it and so on. And the lady said, but I would really like that booklet. And the little girl says, no. And the conversation bounced back and forward and the little girls were just as adamant as the woman was. And eventually, the little girl says, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll share the booklet with you. And she opened the booklet and she tore page 7 out of the booklet and handed it to the lady. And the lady started to read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in an instant, the lady realized, yes, how wrong she was. She went to speak to the little girls, and the little girls had gone on. The following Sunday, she went to a church service, and there she trusted the Lord to be her Savior. Another story from Colombia. The same folk that shared this, they went into a prison one day to do some evangelism. When they arrived at the prison, well, the nurse said, look, we're really needing a doctor. Any doctors? Yes, one was a doctor. Doctor went to see the prisoner. The others went into the nurse's office. And there lying on her desk was a Gospel of John. And they said, where did you get that? She says, a few weeks ago, somebody came to this prison to do evangelism. And they gave me this. She says, this book has changed my life. She says, in the front of it, there are 7 steps to knowing God. At the end of the 7 steps, there's a place where you can sign if you have trusted the Lord to be your Savior. And she opened it and she showed it to them and she gave it to them. She says, look, that's when I trusted the Lord. She says, every day I take time to read this booklet. This booklet means the world to me. And that just gives you tonight a little glimpse up to the impact of the literature is making across our world. We have many, many openings and opportunities all across the world for gospel literature. I think that many African countries are waiting for container loads of literature tonight. This past few weeks, we shipped containers to, just this past week, to Argentina. End of December, we shipped to Peru, to Chile. Another one to ship to Brazil. These are all the openings and opportunities in these days. India, I had folk in there the other day with me, begging me for supplies of literature, telling me, look, we have nothing left. We cannot do any more evangelism until we get another supply of literature from you. These are the opportunities that we have in these days. And I would simply this evening ask you to please pray for us. Pray for us in the work of Every Home Crusade. We have tremendous opportunities to get God's word out and into the hands of people. And I would just value your prayers tonight. I know many of you have been praying for us and we want to say thank you. We say thank you on behalf of the whole team there in the factory. Thank you for your prayers. Please do continue to pray that the Lord will continue to lead us and guide us and give us wisdom day by day. And thank you for all those who have been supporting us. Again, we do want to say thank you. Now, I'm going to move on here. Let you see this video. This is from the Philippines.
Just